see that show. I always liked it when there was that guy from Rothschild's Super Sucking Septic Service, the System Service. That's what we need to call, man. I always liked it because they named it Rothschild's. Thought that was very apropos. All right, here we're going to look at the rite of circumcision as it's now to be instituted by Abraham and passed on to the descendants. God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you will keep my covenant." While consecutive, a verb to say, amar, cal, imperfect, third masculine singular, A-M-A-R. Elohim, God, common masculine plural absolute, E-L-O-H-I-M. To Abraham is the preposition El, E-L, Abraham, transliterated. And he said, God, to Abraham, now is for you. You had the wow conjunction, but followed with the pronoun, personal pronoun here, second masculine singular, ata, you yourself, on your part. A-T-T-A-H. On God's part is Adonai, on my part. Now on your part, Abraham. Now, as for you, then you have to sign a direct object, followed with the noun, common feminine singular construct, with the first common singular suffix, or word for covenant, berith, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H. Literally, you will keep, or guard, or observe my covenant, you will keep. Cal imperfect second masculine singular of the verb shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R. You and your descendants after you throughout their generations. Pronoun second masculine singular, atah, repeated, wow conjunction. Descendants is literally seed, the common masculine singular constructed second masculine singular suffix, zera, Z-E-R-A, your seed. After you is the adverb with the second masculine singular suffix, akere, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. Throughout their generations is the preposition lamed, followed with the common masculine plural construct, third masculine plural suffix, or word for generations, door, D-O-R. Verse 10, this is my covenant, which you will keep. This is the adjective feminine singular zoth, Z-O-T-H. Covenant, berith, repeated here, first common singular suffix with the noun. Which is a relative pronoun, Asher, Asher, S-H-E-R. Shamar, keep, observe, cal, imperfect, second masculine plural. Between me and you and your descendants after you, you have the preposition with the first common singular suffix bayin, B-A-Y-I-N. Between me and, while conjunction, between you literally, the preposition bayin repeated here with the second masculine singular plural suffix between you all, and, while conjunction, between your descendants, Bayan again repeated, our word descendants, Zera, literally seed, common masculine singular construct with the second masculine singular suffix. After you, our adverb, again, second masculine singular suffix, Akere. Every male among you will be circumcised. You have the first word is the nifal infinitive absolute of the verb mul. A word to circumcise, M-U-L, to be circumcised in the passive. To be circumcised among you all, literally, you have the preposition lamed with the second masculine plural suffix. every male. Every male is a common masculine singular construct. Kol, every, in the singular, each, or every. And then our word for male, common masculine singular absolute, zakar. Z-A-K-A-R. Verse 11. And you will be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. Wow. Consecutive. Again, our verb to circumcise, mol, in the niphel, passive form, perfect second masculine plural. You will be circumcised. Then you sign a direct object. Denote the target of circumcision. Common masculine singular construct, our word for flesh, the flesh of in the construct, bashar. B-A-S-H-A-R, flesh. Literally, the flesh of the uncircumcised, hence the foreskin. Common feminine singular construct, second masculine plural suffix, Arlah, A-R-E-L-A-H. And it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. While consecutive, it will become literally Kal, perfect third masculine singular, or verb Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. It will become as a sign or for a sign. Preposition lamed followed with our noun for sign, common both singular construct oath, O-T-H. Here a mnemonic sign, reminder sign. Other covenant, bereath, common feminine singular absolute noun. Between me and you, the preposition bayin, used two times, the first one with the first common singular suffix, reference to God. Second masculine plural suffix, you all, Abraham and his descendants. B-A-Y-I-N. Then the particulars are given. And every male among you, verse 12, who is 8 days old, will be circumcised throughout your generations. While conjunction. Then our noun, common masculine singular construct. Ben, son, E-E-N, son of 8 days, literally. And a son of eight is your adjective masculine construct, Shemona, S-H-E-M-O-N-E-H. Days is a common masculine plural absolute, Yom, Y-O-M. Will be circumcised, our verb circumcise, again in the niphal, mul, M-U-L. Then you have the preposition with the second masculine plural suffix, lamed, among you all, every male. Every, again, is our noun, kol, followed with our noun, male, again, zakar, as we saw in the previous verse, Z-A-K-A-R. Throughout your generations, the preposition lamed, followed with our noun for generations with the second masculine plural suffix, dor. Also, a servant who is born in the house or is bought with money with any foreigner who is not of your descendants. You have the adjective masculine singular construct, yalid, Y-A-L-I-Y-D, one born of the house, literally. A house is your common masculine singular absolute noun, bayith, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H, bayith. One born of the house, and, while conjunction. Then the common feminine singular construct noun, our word bought is Mikena, M-I-Q-E-N-A-H, Mikena, to be bought, purchased, an acquisition with, and or one purchased, acquired with, silver. common mask and singular absolute. Our word for silver or money, as the idea here, is Kesef, K-E-S-E-P-H. One born of the house or acquired with silver. From any foreigner, you have the preposition men. Any is your common masculine singular construct. Coal, again, K-O-L. And then you have the word for son, repeated here, common masculine singular construct, Ben. From any son of a foreigner, literally, one that is foreign, an alien. Common masculine singular absolute, our word, our noun, Nekar. N-E-K-E-K-A-R. Who is not of your descendants, who or which, your relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R. Followed with the negative lo, who is not, L-O, from your seed himself, literally. Preposition men, or noun for descendant or seed, Zera, with the second masculine singular suffix, followed with the pronoun, personal pronoun, third masculine singular, who, H-U, which is not from your seed himself. Verse 13. A servant who is born in your house or is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. First you have the verb for circumcised is the niphel, infinitive absolute here. Followed with the verb repeated as a niphel, imperfect third masculine singular, mul, M-U-L. That's our phrasing, circumcised, you will circumcise. Absolutely must be done. Then our word for born, one born of, is an adjective masculine singular construct, Yalid, Y-A-L-I-Y-D, to be born of, your house, noun for house, Bayith, with the second masculine singular suffix again, B-A-Y-I-T-H. Wow conjunction. Then our word for purchase, and Makina, again repeated, common feminine singular, acquired with, money or silver, Kesef, common masculine singular, constructed second masculine singular suffix. Thus will my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Wow consecutive. Followed with our cow, perfect third feminine singer, Hayah, to become, H-A-Y-A-H. My covenant, Bereith, first common singular suffix attached. In your flesh is the preposition bait, and our noun for flesh, common masculine singular constructed, second masculine plural suffix, Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. For a covenant, everlasting, literally. Preposition lamed, our noun for covenant, bereith. Then our noun for everlasting, for eternity, forever, common masculine singular absolute, olam, O-L-A-M. In verse 14, the repercussions for failure. That an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Wow conjunction. Then we have the adjective masculine singular absolute of one uncircumcised or literally having foreskin is Arel, A-R-E-L. Verb, the adjective form of Arela, R-L. The uncircumcised male, Zakar, again, the word for male, Z-A-K-A-R, common masculine singular absolute. who is a relative pronoun, a share, followed with a negative lo, who is not, lo, circumcised is again our verb mol, nifl, imperfect third masculine singular, who will not be circumcised literally, again in the passive, not allow it, or someone does not perform the surgery. Sign of direct object, in the flesh of his foreskin. Flesh, again, bashar. Foreskin, or noun, aralah, of his uncircumcision, in the flesh of his uncircumcision. That's with the third masculine singular suffix, his uncircumcision. That person will be cut off from his people. While consecutive plus the verb here to cut off here is the nifal, perfect third feminine singular, again in the passive, karath, K-A-R-A-T-H. The burden of separation lies upon the individual that is to separate from this person, hence the nifal, passive. It takes an outside force. People that you need to separate from are not always necessarily going to separate from you. You've got to stand your own ground, see, as I did. That person will be cut off, see, then he will be cut off. That person is the definite article with a common feminine singular absolute noun, nephesh, his soul, looking, pointing to the negative volition, obviously, the disobedience. Nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, that one soul or that person, follow with a definite article and the pronoun third feminine singular he, H-I-Y, that one soul, the one itself in the Hebrew, from his people, preposition men, follow with the common masculine plural construct, third feminine singular suffix, am, his people, A-M, A-M. He has broken my covenant. Sign of direct object, my covenant, bereath, with the first common singular suffix attached. He has broken, he has caused to break, is the hifil, perfect third masculine singular, or verb, farar, P-H. A-R, A-R, and the end of the paragraph. All right. Rereading this group of verses here. God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you will keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations." Verse 10, "This is my covenant, which you will keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you will be circumcised." Verse 11, "And you will be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." Verse 12, "And every male among you who is 8 days old will be circumcised throughout your generations. One who is born in the house, a servant, or is bought with silver from any foreigner, from any son of a foreigner, who is not of your descendants. A servant," verse 13, "who is born in your house, who is bought with your money, shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." All right? In the analysis of verses 9 through 14. One, in verses 3 through 8, we saw God guarantee his part of the covenant for phase 2 faithfulness on his part. On God's part. And Abraham fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, "As for me." So from there, through verse 8 is God's word that He will uphold His end of the promise. In respect for Abraham's phase 2 faithfulness. So 2, this as it related to Abraham's propagation of nations on his part, verses 4 through 6, and then the extent of real estate that he and his descendants would possess, that is all of the land of Canaan, all of Canaan, verse 8. 3, now in verse 9, God charges Abraham with keeping the conditional terms of the covenant on his part, noted in the phrase, now as for you, wa ata, and you yourself. 4, exhale faith is now required in complement to inhale faith that was illustrated in verse 3 when Abraham prostrated himself to the earth, giving overt evidence of humbleness and willingness to hear God's words in this part. And that represented inhale faith. Now we have exhale faith. Hence, we have a phase 2 or conditional aspect of the covenant that is now being illustrated. So exhale faith is now required to complement the inhale faith illustrated in verse 3. 5, the verb keep you shall keep my covenant. The verb keep, shamar, means to quote guard or observe, end quote. Looking to the observer to ensure his terms are applied according to plan. It's up to the individual to decide to make the application. This language is not uncommon that we've seen in the New Testament. Those who love Christ are those who keep His word, guard, observe. So it's up to the observer, this being Abraham in this particular case and his descendants, to ensure the terms are applied according to plan as they are now lined out in this respect. So 6, God further extends the charge of Abraham's descendants after you throughout their generations. 7, the seed, which is Zerah in the Hebrew, in view is now limited to Abraham's offspring of racial Jews reproduced through Sarah. The first part of it, we had the same term used of his descendants. But that was not limited to Jews. In fact, it looked to all nations outside of the Jewish nation. So here it now conforms strictly to the Jewish race, the Hebrew race. We know this because in near context, immediate context, we see it's used in verse 12 here. That's the seed is in contrast to any not of the Hebrew race. Any who is born in the house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your seed. See, any foreigner not of your seed. 8, the same expectation for Abraham to be an example as to the terms of the covenant emphasized in verse 1 is now levied upon his descendants. It extends beyond Abraham, and his descendants also are required to conform, orient, acclimate to the requirements of the covenant themselves in this respect. 9, the requirement is timeless for as long as the descendants of Abraham are present in history. 10, the phase 2 part of the covenant is a requirement for all male members of the community to be circumcised. So that's obviously a work. It's an action. So it represents a phase 2 application on their part, and that is to engage in this particular rite. 11, female circumcision, though practiced by some peoples, is by its omission not to be practiced among the chosen people. Female circumcision is practiced by some societies. Generally, it removes any sexual pleasure in regards to the female when that practice is exercised. Supposedly, it's supposed to help curb any sexual appetite and maintain fidelity among the female population. Generally, you find the males out screwing around otherwise. You don't see anything in the Bible that supports, promotes female circumcision. So 12, the Old Testament assumes male circumcision after the fact and incorporated into the law. This rite, this ritual, obviously is seen as being incorporated into the customs of this society, as it's assumed from then on out, and it becomes part of the law, assumed in the law. Exodus 12:44. That every man's slave purchased with money after you have circumcised him, that he may eat of it. Just assume that you're going to do this. It is a foundational, covenantal ritual that all were obligated to engage in. And then 48, a bit of a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, that all his males be circumcised. Then let him come near to celebrate it. He shall be like a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat of it. So in the Passover, it doesn't make a difference whether you're visiting, if you're a foreigner. Otherwise, if you want to engage in that particular feast, that Passover, then you and your household will also have to be circumcised. So how serious are you to have a little lamb this evening? Leviticus 12:3. Yeah, I think I'll wait for Christmas myself. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised as part of the law. So 13, it is a rite designed to remind Israel, as we have already addressed, their responsibilities in the plan of God, unconditionally guaranteed through the covenant. The unconditional part, obviously, by example, the promise here and the real estate. All right, here's the unconditional blessing that I'm going to bestow upon you in this promise. And now you have a responsibility once you become part of the unconditional aspect of this covenant. And this ritual is designed to remind them of that, as we have so discussed, in regards to the STA and isolation of same. 14, the command to keep the covenant is repeated in verse 10, this time in the plural, which you all will keep, to incorporate the entirety of the Israeli nation, all males. 15, the covenant remains bilateral, per the clause between me and between you and between your descendants after you, in contrast to the unilateral, unconditional aspect of the covenant. 16, God's obligations are parallel to Israel's fidelity to their obligations. 17, the ritual itself is then succinctly stated, every male among you will be circumcised. 18 and verse 11, then the regulation goes into specific detail. 19, first it specifies where in the male anatomy the rite is to be performed, that is the flesh of your foreskin, Bashar Aralah. 20, literally Aralah reads of your uncircumcision. Of your uncircumcision. G Genesis 34:14. And they said to them, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister," here in regards to Dinah, again, as we looked at these verses earlier, "to one who is uncircumcised," Aralah, "one that has foreskin." Then Jeremiah 9:24 again. I got that one out of 25. Just missed it by a verse. I'm close. Horseshoes and hand grenades and Bible doctrine. See, here we go. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised." Our turn. God then informs Abraham that this procedure is, quote, "the sign of the covenant," end quote, oath barith. This intimate sign points to the necessity of the isolation of the indwelling STA via the salvation adjustment and rebound adjustment to the justice of God. Abraham, the founder of the Hebrew race and first participant of the covenant promises, as we've already noted, was not circumcised until many years after he possessed the reality. He was saved by faith, apart from any works. Again, we, in the introduction, read Romans 4, 9 through 12. He was 99 years old when he was finally had this theophany appeared before him, and he engaged on the same day in this ritual. 24, therefore, so physical circumcision is ritual, not reality, as recognized by Paul, again in the same passage, Romans 4, 9 through 10. How many Christians engage in ritual and transform it in their own thinking as being the reality? The Catholics practice this type of religiosity as well as others. No, a ritual is simply a ritual. It is not reality. The Lord's table that we observe is a ritual, not reality. However, it means nothing if the reality is not present, really. 25, and again, all this is to be understood and recognized, and it shows you just how off whack the Jews became in regards to their legalism as it appears in the time of Christ. All right, 25, now in verse 12, the timing and subjects of circumcision are defined more precisely. Whereas, quote, "every male among you," end quote, compare verse 10, covers all baby boys, quote, 8 days old. Shemona Yom, end quote. 26, that only males are subject to circumcision, probably teaches that a male will resolve the issue of the indwelling STA, that is, Jesus Christ. Why is this dedicated simply to the male population, this ritual? And the fact that it deals with the sin nature, if you understand that doctrine and how the sin nature works, how it's passed down through progeny, then you can come to a fairly sound conclusion. It looks at the fact that the Savior of this world will be a male. That is the person of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:11. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This follows the premise, the doctrine, the concepts of the doctrine, that the male is the transmitter of the indwelling STA, and only in the male DNA is a solution found. So, the doctrines as we understand them, as we have dealt with here, obviously in the book of Genesis, beginning with Adam and Eve, recognizing that the sin nature gene that has with it the death gene is passed down through the human race to the male parent. The female is simply a carrier of the STA gene, obviously otherwise still affected by it. But it is the male that is a carrier. We understand that principle as it applies to Jesus Christ being supernaturally brought into this world through the impregnation of Mary by God the Holy Spirit, therefore bypassing the transmission of the sin nature gene in this respect. And it is only through the DNA of the male is the transmission halted, interrupted, or overruled in this regard. That's what point we're making here. How you stop the STA, it's got to be through the male population. So 28, since they're the transmitter. 28, now the eighth day. What does that illustrate? The eighth day may further celebrate or symbolize the eternal state. Some of the feasts last 7 days and then 8 days. And the eighth day looks at the eternal state, 7,000 years of creation, then the day of God, as it's so referred to in 2 Peter 3:12. And that's where the issue of the STA is forever remedied. For the eternal offspring of nations in human bodies there via the leaves of the tree of life. Again, as we have dealt with in the doctrine of the day of God and the eternal state, not all of the human race will enter into the eternal state and resurrection body. Only Old Testament and New Testament saints and tribulational saints. Those individuals who are believers who survive the tribulational period and go into the millennial state, all unbelievers will be checked out at that point in time, continue to produce offspring in natural human bodies while they coexist with believers in resurrection bodies through that period of time, will produce human beings that will exist, have very long lives. It's very possible someone could live through the entirety of the millennial period of 1,000 years. Then you have the final rebellion of Satan as he's released from his incarceration during that 1,000 years for a short period of time. Another rebellion occurs. Obviously, unbelievers will continue to pop up through this period of time, even with Christ and his kingdom on this planet ruling, showing again the presence of free will and the nature of negative volition. Then judgment will come. All unbelievers will be judged. Our present heaven and earth are taken out of existence. And a new heaven and a new earth will be created. God will supernaturally protect those still, those believers who live during the millennial period in their human bodies in this period. That's just beyond God. He can do this. No big deal. And they will enter into the eternal state in human bodies, human beings in their natural habitat of bodies will continue to exist it brings about, if you will, the realization of the original intention of creation of man in and of itself, for God to create for man this perfect environment and to survive in human flesh in this way forever as God, as their God, see, in sinless and perfect. And for those who go into the eternal state in their natural bodies, obviously, they will still have an STA. And as we know in Revelation 22:2, people with an STA will not be allowed to enter into Jerusalem in that state. Otherwise, the leaves of the tree of life are for the nations. And for the nation means it looks at those individuals who are outside of resurrection and that continue to exist in their natural bodies in this eternal state. And that will have the properties to reverse the DNA structure of the human body for these individuals, and they will live forever in that condition. Yeah, pretty cool. So, the eighth day looks at the eternal state when a permanent and forever resolution for the DNA infirmary of mankind that exists in the form of the sin nature and death gene is once and forever removed. So that's the best I can do for you on both of those areas. Those things I question. What's this all about? That's the doctrine that I can place with it. If there's more beyond that, well, obviously, that's definitely possible. 29, now circumcision here is to include all boys born in the household, whether they're freeborn or sons of slaves. Yalid Ba'ith, born in the house. 30, for these, in their case, circumcision is to be done on the eighth day after birth. Generally, those who practice circumcision in societies, they do that not long after the baby is born, after the male baby is born. And all male babies are probably glad that that's when it occurs so they don't remember. Thirty-one, also males bought with money from any foreigners are to be circumcised. In the Hebrew, mekanah kesef, silver, min kol ben nekar. 32, verse 13, then reiterates that all male members of the household, that is, the community itself, whatever their origin, are to receive this marking in their flesh as a covenant symbol. The divine speech then ends with warning in verse 14. For any male reluctant to undergo circumcision, or one whose parents did not ensure the circumcision to occur on the eighth day, and does not take correcting measures otherwise. 34, an uncircumcised male will be cut off, pun intended, from his people, extirpated, surgically removed. 35, the threat of punishment is designed as a deterrent to non-compliance. Obviously, reality is still reality. Can you be a believer and be uncircumcised as a racial Jew? Yes. It's ritual. But in their responsibility for God administratively, dispensationally, they need to fulfill this ritual. And we can be believers and never observe the Lord's table or never engage in water baptism. We're still believers. So yeah. 36, is such a person, the threat of divine punishment hovers over the one guilty of a sin of omission versus commission. their sins of commission. That's when you go in and you commit a sin that you're not supposed to do this, and you do it anyway. Then there's sins of omission. That's when you refuse simply to engage in an application. People don't believers don't recognize that a lot. To forsake your assembly is a sin of omission, not commission. Even though I may have committed acts otherwise. Commissive acts. 37, such a person lives with the fact that at any time he could suffer excommunication by the authorities, ultimate separation, and ultimately the sin of death at God's hands. 38, the clause, he has broken my covenant, bereath farar, stands opposite of observing it, in contrast to being obedient, observing the covenant, they break the covenant, verses 9 and 10. 39, God observes and confirms covenants. He never breaks them. He obviously always will keep His word, Judges 2:1. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt, and I led you to the land which I have sworn to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. 40, a non-observer to the ritual here, circumcision, simply brings on himself the threat connected with this covenant. 41, it was ritual, not reality, but carried a tough sentence for violators, that is, separation in a complete form. 42, the sole covenant requirement is with the native Israelite, as well as any male who, whatever the circumstances, joins the society of Israel. That requirement is not on our part, is on the Jews in the land. 43, the doctrinal significance of threat upon the non-compliant points to the punishment connected with failure to make even the salvation adjustment to justice of God, which is, of course, eternal condemnation or eternal separation in the lake of fire. 44, that it is a, quote, works, end quote, requirement, illustrates the perfect work of one without the indwelling STA, or sin, in perfect obedience to God, fulfilling the law as remedy to the indwelling STA. Again, circling back to that principle of Christ providing the remedy, the prescription. Compare Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. A virgin that's going to produce a male without an indwelling sin nature, who will be perfect and be able to have the opportunity to fulfill the law and have a plus R in payment of penalty, in part of payment of penalty for the sins of man. And then Matthew 1:23-25, New Testament corroborates that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Matthew 5:17. Let's see what that says. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Hebrews 4:15. For we now have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted with all things as we, yet without sin. And then confer John 4:34. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. So 45, circumcision was not required for believing Gentiles, not part of the community of Israel, unless, as we saw, they weren't engaged in the Passover feast or something of that nature. All right? So I'll see you all a week from Tuesday. Enjoy your holidays. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.